For business on the go, visit www.moneyfmzambia.com to watch, stream, and download various programs from anywhere in the world.
All right, so we're back with, I think, what would be the last part of the show today. This is Outside In at Money. You're here with me, Chilu Mulundu, and I'm in studio with Mwele Chibesakunda, co-host of the segment Outside In at Money, where we take a look at the narratives, the insights, and the stories making news on companies on the financial exchange, on the local stock exchange. I went for too much there.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
I went for
absolutely,
too much.
Absolutely.
Now, speaking of going for too much, all right, let's talk about National Breweries.
Okay, great.
And, as you veritably nicknamed them, the parent company of Chibuku. What a product to pick. Is that their main product? Is that their biggest product?
They've got a number of products Chibuku is obviously their flagship product. Now, just to take listeners back, this is obviously the half year performance, and I'll have listeners know that National Breweries actually got bought off when AB InBev bought Zambia Breweries. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they used to be more or less like a subsidiary. Now there's another company that's obviously running them, but what's been quite interesting is that at half year, this is a company that's obviously trying to crawl itself back to profitability. Mm. Now they've obviously had a very, very challenging half year thus far, and it appears that there's been a lot of competition which has been obviously gradually increasing. They've faced competition with the likes of Draft Beer, Clear Beer, Cheap Spirits, and a handful of new entrants that are obviously notably in the packaged segment, because obviously Chibuku is more like a packaged product into their market. So meaning that this has obviously led to a price war, which has obviously depressed prices,
really?
and reduced margins. So National Breweries have actually had a very, very tough half year thus far. Mm. However, one of the things that we noticed that prior to in comparison to the prior year, we noticed that the total volume sold were actually up by 14%. However, revenue was only up by 6% in compared to the same period last year, and this was driven largely by a mix of increased sales from the higher margin Chibuku Super. Now you'll notice that in the article itself we talk about the higher margin. Mm-hmm. Usually companies like this will have a plethora of products that will come in at different project profit margins.
Yeah.
Now, if it's the Chibuku Super, this is obviously the souped up one that comes in the nice packages, the nice bottles.
Sure,
so
sure.
That one comes at a bit of a premium. So the company obviously looks to that product to be the one that will be the profit driver. Mm. And usually they'll obviously consolidate around that product to make sure that they push more sales out of that. Now, because its price point is a bit higher, it obviously does become a bit challenging if there's a lot of competition in that particular, particular domain.
I don't know how I feel about that move, to be honest. I think they were doing pretty well with their normal,
yes, exactly. You know? But a couple of stories before, and we have these on the website, is that the challenges in this particular arena is that because the barriers of entry are so low, this was actually a highly profitable arena, so it made other entrants, new players, to actually go in.
We saw that
exactly. Yeah, yes, yeah. And don't forget that your product Chibuku also has substitutes such as your kachasus and drinks like that. So going into this one, it's very difficult to actually ring fence the business from competition, because you've got an offering that can easily be replicated, and the barriers of entry are very low. Any company can actually come in, and you shudder to think that if it's a company that has scale, it will actually come in and blow you out of the water.
Sorry to take you a little bit back. What was the relationship between National Breweries and Zambia Breweries?
Right, so they were more or less like a subsidiary. What was quite interesting is that the board structure, you had the CEO and the board chair of Zambia Breweries also sitting on the National Breweries board. Yes. So in a couple of stories before, we actually covered how they went about with the separation. Remember a couple of episodes back, we talked about the Coca-Cola company exactly being split up. So the same thing actually happened.
It wasn't on my mind. I didn't think about
exactly, because the catch is AB InBev are not in OPEC beer in any of the markets that they are.
Yes.
And credit to the AB InBev team, when they took over, you don't want to adopt a child who you're not able to
to
raise. So in their particular case, they know nothing about OPEC beer, so that's how they had to let it go.
So did they sell it? Did somebody else buy it?
Yes, it was a Zimbabwean company, but I'll have to get the name there, because there's a big Zimbabwean Zimbabwean company that actually has very extensive operations in the opaque space. So they took it over and are now running it.
I'm sure they will. So what, they feel confident that it's going to do well.
Exactly.
So
they'll turn it around. Usually, what a lot of our listeners need to understand is that this is a company that's more or less in transition. Remember how I mentioned how Coca-Cola was heavily embedded in the Zambrew ecosystem in terms of distribution and supply? Chances are that, you know, the distribution and supply systems now are being separated. So these are some of the teething problems of that particular transition. When the new company comes in, it also has to set up its own. And remember, because there's Zimbabwe, and the Zimbabwean market space is fairly different from the Zambian market space, so they'll have to, you know, to learn a few tricks about the local trend. But we also believe that, you know, there's a lot of talent in Zambia, and this is why we encourage management team to adopt more Zambians for the Zambian cause.
Do we know if the CEO is still a Zambian?
I'll need to just check that out. But previously, obviously, it was the Zambrew CEO was the CEO for National.
Oh, he was actually the CEO for National.
Exactly.
As well.
When it was still under the same roof. Now, what we also observed was that the companies, obviously, although they're in transition, they're obviously now trying to beef up in terms of their supply chain. And what we noticed from the half year review was that they've now reopened their Ndola and Kabwe depots, which obviously now allows them to, you know, to improve their supply chain
position.
So that
might be the supply chain issues that you were referring to. Yes.
Exactly.
So they may have lost something, so they need to reopen.
Exactly. So they need to now beef up. So it looks like this is something that's obviously going to be quite significant come end of year in terms of some of the improvements that they're actually trying to make. Now, unfortunately, the business made an operating loss of 24.1 million for the same period. But however, this was an improvement by 33%. So meaning like
that was an improvement.
Yeah, it was an improvement loss, if you can call it that. Yeah. So, but then, you know,
which means like the loss was in the 36s the previous.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So the movement in profitability in the period is attributed to the increase in contribution of the Chibuku Super, which I mentioned earlier, and obviously they've gone through.
Think that the Chibuku Super actually?
No, they actually mentioned. There's Chibuku
they
Super
actually mentioned.
Yes,
it.
So, okay. I mean, Chibuku Super is obviously a product that we need to be looking at because it obviously has a particular type of appeal, and one would actually hope that. And this is where now you obviously have to now bring in your economists who actually look at some of the macro factors and things like, for example, inflation. If the price point for the Chibuku Super is at a particular point and inflation is fairly low, chances are that you'll probably have a lot more people actually going for it. But then if inflation is high, then, you know, it does tend to be a bit tricky. But then back to thing is, you know, in terms of the movement in profitability, obviously it was also inspired by issues around cost cutting initiatives. Now I take you back to the narrative for Zambia Sugar. They also had huge payouts around the voluntary separation offer. So it's this is something that companies would do when they want to now streamline their costs and ensure that the company returns to profitability. So this is a measure that that was obviously employed to obviously improve on costs. However, we also noticed that there was a huge increase of about 169% in terms of finance costs that were attributed to external borrowings from outside the group. So they did not borrow from the group, and chances are it's because of the movement from coming from National from Zambia Breweries to now joining this other company. So would have expected that chances are that, you know, the new big brother now will be able to give them finance, but it looks like they went for commercial money, which obviously cost them quite a bit. And that it means interest payments will obviously be fairly significant. Now,
which is strange considering they want to do cost cutting.
Yes, but then catch is, remember, like we mentioned that we talked about some of the depots that they're trying to sort out. The money has to come from somewhere. Exactly. So this is how, you know, the finance director or the chief financial officer becomes a very critical figure here, because then now gets to inspire the company to come up with a capital structure of how exactly they're going to, you know, like finance all their activities.
So that might be a key decision going forward.
It will be. So yeah. So anyway, back to National Breweries. So now, one of the things that we obviously observed was this is the high cost of capital, which is obviously has impacted their gearing ratio. Now, this is basically, you know, like their debt levels, which are obviously above a 40%. Mm. Now, this is usually like the industry average, but companies will normally target for a gearing ratio that's south of 40%. Now, when we looked at the investor ratios that are obviously critical, because this investors will be looking at things such as the earnings per share. The earnings per share still remains negative, and obviously this is like coming from a previous negative to another, you know, negative, though it's an improved negative.
Yeah.
Exactly, yes. You know, there are subtle signs that we can see that, you know, yes, the company is trying to get back to profitability. So, you know, what we foresee going forward is obviously the company, especially at the end of the year, they'll obviously intensify on the cost-cutting measures and rationalize their operations. But for us, the biggest concern is how they manage in the competitive space that is the opaque beer market, and how they fend off you know, substitutes in this particular market, because it's open season in this one. But you know, just similarly to what Zambia Sugar has been doing, the key might just be in how they manage their supply chain, because yes, they do have scale. They're able to get to certain places and geographical locations that other companies are not able to.
Yes.
So it's making sure that you streamline a path to the customer to allow your product to actually get there before, you know, before your customer.
All right. So I didn't ask you to do this for Zambia Sugar, because you're going to talk about next week. But National Breweries, what's your advice to people looking at them on the market?
Wow. You know what? At the moment, I would say hold.
Hold up.
Yeah, hold up first. What would be quite interesting to see is how they manage, because obviously, even with the debt levels, because what you don't want is a situation like with you know, with Zambia Sugar, where the debt levels are fairly high. But at least we know where that debt is actually coming from.
Yeah.
They do indicate where the debt is. It's external from the group, so it'll be quite interesting to see how long that debt is actually for, what sort of interest rates are being paid before you, because what you could then now be finding yourself in is, one, this is a company that is obviously fighting price wars, so obviously it's depreciated profit.
And it's in a transition.
Exactly, and it's in a transition as well. So there's a lot going on in that in this particular company. But then obviously, come end of year at the annual general meeting, the management team should actually be able to give us a clear path and a clear strategy in terms of how they intend to get back to profitability, how soon they actually see themselves getting back to profitability, and what will there be their value proposition actually going forward, because they are in a very, 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 very you know, tough market.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a very tricky one, but okay. I would not buy this stock for now. I'd hold.
National Brewers has always been a funny one to me, because even from way back, they've always had, for some reason, their stocks, and this one I know, has always been on the higher side.
Yes.
As in the actual price of a share.
Yeah.
Whereas, for instance, Zambia Sugar is very low.
Yes.
You know? So I'm like, what? Is it...
Okay.
So now... They want you to buy, like, okay, yeah.
So now, some of the dynamics, and this is...
And it doesn't really matter, I'm told, by the way.
Yeah. No, true. But, you know, one of the things that listeners should also realize is that sometimes the pricing of the shares is dictated by how many shares are actually on offer.
Exactly.
Exactly, yeah. So what we're going to do before the other guys get to do it is that we're going to do an analysis of the number of shares each company actually has. Yes, and this is information that's actually available, but we'll have it in a nice juicy article on our website, so that people can actually know that, oh, okay, this is the reason why chances are that this share price is actually high this is actually very low, because remember, there is a bit of a disconnect with what the actual market price is and how, you know, the performance of the company, whether it actually speaks to the price of the share.
Yes, because I was about to ask you that with this news, for instance, like a negative earning per share, you know, and like a projection that
the price
maybe
is supposed to drop,
but the price has done absolutely nothing.
It's done nothing. It's unmoved.
Yeah.
It's unmoved.
It's actually unmoved. Yeah.
Yeah, it's unmoved. Yeah.
Whereas I don't know whether you've been watching over the past couple, we've seen some strange, well, in my opinion, strange movement with SCBL. I don't know whether you noticed that.
Well, I did actually notice that, and we will be
Do you know why?
Okay, well, not. I don't know why at the moment, but we will be doing the analysis very, very soon.
Okay.
However, like I'd indicated, some of the drivers of price changes is the announcements of dividends, and we know that Stanbic actually made an announcement that they will be paying a dividend.
Okay.
Usually, dividends are the key things that keep this market ticking. However, you do have cases where people hold on to stock for a long time, and maybe at some point they would want to liquidate. Now, one of the things that, and this is where the capital gains scenario is very, very important, because over time these prices will adjust and they will find a new equilibrium. So for example, if you bought a particular share at 1.5 kwacha over maybe say a 6-year period, that stock then finds itself at 2 kwacha. the money that you invested with 10,000 kwacha, when you now decide to sell your share, even though it's listed at 2 kwacha, you sell it at 1.8, which is cheaper. People come and snap it up because remember supply and demand, and also you know the market forces and pricing. So you know people come in and you know most likely you know like come in and jump in there. So there's various decisions that people will make that you know that allow the thing. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I think we'll be done for the evening then.
Yeah. All right.
A little trivia for you, because so I do a daily stock market update.
Yeah.
And so usually the summaries are given in, you know, the company shorthand that they use.
Yes.
So I was tripping over a couple of them, and people were like, you don't know your stuff. And I was like, no, some of these are tricky. Not everybody knows them. And I'm like, okay, fine. I'm going to test my friend then. I'm going to ask him three, which tripped me up, and see if you get them.
Okay.
All right. REIZ.
REIZ is RIZ. That's real estate.
Darn it, you know it. I did not know it. I didn't even know there was a real estate company on the stock exchange.
There is, yes. Real estate investment fund. Yes, exactly. It's quite a mouthful of an acronym.
it was.
The next one?
PRIMA.
PRIMA is a Prima.
RE.
Yeah, Prima Reassurance.
Ah.
Yes.
All right. MAFS.
Madison Financial Services.
CCAF.
CCAF.
That one's tricky.
Yeah. You got me there. What is it?
That one got me too. It's CEC Africa.
Oh, CEC. Oh,
yeah. And that was my exact reaction as well. I was like, of course it's CEC Africa. Yes.
And we're supposed to know this.
Bruh. And BATZ?
British America Tobacco Zambia. Yeah.
The other one I do. Okay. ATEL.
It's Airtel.
Yeah,
Airtel.
Okay.
Yes.
And AEL is it? I know the company, but I don't know what it stands for.
AEL Mining.
Is it? What is the AEL?
You know, to be honest, I've never.
Yes, I've never known it AEL. Either. Yeah, but you know, I know the company.
Those acronyms. The acronym became a name.
Became the name.
Yeah, exactly.
Name.
Yeah. So that's they just called it AEL Mining.
Just AEL now. Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Hey, bro. Thank you so much for coming. I know you're gonna rush back for your hors d'oeuvres and champagne.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. And thank you, listeners, for tuning in. Please visit the website and look out for the next article, part two of the Zambia Sugar story. Yeah. If you're a shareholder. I'd encourage you to come to the AGM next week. You know, Rebecca Kator is going to be hosting us. It's going to be fantastic. We're obviously going to learn a bit more about how the company wants to
what
see
is
its
she
prospects.
Like? I know in the article you call her soft-spoken.
Yeah, she's soft-spoken, but she's very assertive.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's one of the assertive CEOs that I know.
Okay.
I mean, like, you know, you can't move her. She's like, you know, block of ice, but very, very assertive. Yeah, I mean, she's a power woman, and credit to the board for appointing a woman. And I want to see more women, running loose companies. Actually,
yeah. All right, guys. So that'll be it for Outside In at Money today. Anything you want to talk about? Remember 0967-144-220. I'm opening the phone lines again, so you can call me if you have anything you want to talk about. 0211-252-227.
Disclaimer. All opinions expressed by our guests are solely their opinions and do not reflect the opinion of Money FM or any of its affiliates.